Hello, and welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Tony Flynn.
And I'm Kevin Decker. Listener, we know that since the last Men in Charge episode, you've been pining for 168 hours.
That's one whole Earth week, Kevin.
That's right. You've been waiting a full week for a new Men in Charge, and we reward your interest and anticipation with a new episode. What's the title, Tony?
Kevin, today our title says it all as we take on more of our greatest enemies.
I know that the Federal Aviation Administration has us on their watch list.
And that's the FAA, not the TSA. So while we move sleekly and efficiently through airports, ultimately we're not allowed to fly.
And speaking of enemies, there's the continent of Indonesia. You remember the early episodes where we tried to get back at our shiftless dope-smoking Indonesian writer, right?
Nut al-Ahmad. I remember him well. He convinced us to spend our precious spring break on the surprisingly uncomfortable beaches of Indonesia. I think you may have gone too far with your complaints to the Indonesian embassy. But the Indonesians really stick together, I'll give them that.
Of course, there's also Anders Lurkewile, the scientist host of the show within a show, Chaos. He's never been a big fan.
He's been angry at us ever since our Men in Charge fans popularized the slogan, "Science is gay." You know, Kevin, a number of our listeners are going to be impressed with the degree of continuity that the show has established over the last few years.
Yeah, both of them will be impressed, I think.
Kevin, is this another Cardassian neurocene gas booby trap left for us in the Men in Charge studio that you failed to detect?
I promise it's not.
Oh, mortals?
Oh, no, not again.
Kid Gupta.
Yes, I'm back. I know you thought I promised to never visit you again in this dank and unpleasant 21st century of yours, but...
But what? You promised.
I found that I was able to use my powers as a Hindu god.
Yes, we know.
I used my powers in order to subtly influence the management at A La Carte Reality Services to change the concept of what a promise is. You know, shake things up a little.
Listeners, given the very slight chance that you haven't been listening fastidiously to every second of Men in Charge since our very first episode...
Appropriately entitled, The Pilot.
Yes. Given that slight chance, we should remind you that Kid Gupta, from the illustrious 17th rank of the Hindu gods, was a fixture of Season 4 of the show.
I haven't had such a good time in 54,000 years. Oh, how I enjoyed disrupting your big live broadcast from Las Vegas. And wasn't Wayne Newton surprised, if not dismayed, by what I was wearing when I made a surprise pop into his dressing room?
I do have to admit that the bizarre things you prophesied to me about Kevin Spacey, as unbelievable as they were at the time, turned out to be true.
Yeah, and who can forget the moment when it was revealed that you were responsible for creating the temporal whoopee cushions?
Temporal whoopee cushions? I don't remember that.
You know, the ones that Anders Lurkewile used to make us castaways in the past, in the episode 17 Generations of Lurkewiles.
Season 2, Episode 6, for the fans at home.
All true. Think of me as a Yeatsian meditation on whatever a cross between Batmite and the Great Gazoo from the Flintstones would be like.
No thanks.
Look, Kid Gupta, we're not in Men in Charge Season 4 anymore.
Yes, of course. When have I arrived? Are you doing your Men in Charge version of a very Brady Christmas made-for-television movie? You must be at the perilous end. Kevin, your Lou Costello, is in an alcoholic coma while your Bud Abbott, Tony, is ready to dance on his grave. Cancellation, here we come.
Hey! This is our 7th season, and we're in no danger from the major networks of being canceled, thank you very much.
7 seasons. I'm guessing that's quite a bit longer than you've even been a Hindu god.
Wrong, for so many reasons. So, chums, what shall it be for this visit? Haven't you always wanted to have a velociraptor sidekick in the studio with you?
Yeah.
No, definitely not. Ignore Kevin, he skipped lunch.
How about I press A La Carte Reality Services into services yet again and retemporalize the scenes of this episode in reverse order, like that clever Seinfeld episode?
No, we're all done with time travel and Men in Charge.
But Kevin, I thought we were going to use Lurkewile's temporal whoopee cushions to go back to ancient Greece for a special segment of wine tasting with Men in Charge.
Oh yeah, I remember. We were going to call that one just inventing wine itself, period, with Men in Charge.
Well,
what?
Well, I have to instantiate some kind of hijink.
How about this wacky scenario? Kevin and Tony let the listener know what sketches are coming up on Men in Charge. Then, and here's where the zaniness really kicks in, those sketches, in the order described, are listened to by the listener, and then...
Oh, I'm all a tizzy. What then?
Then we thank the cast and crew and say something good-heartedly deprecating about Brian Lindsay, our engineer.
Roll closing theme music.
You know, I like it.
You do?
Yes, I love it for purely pedestrian reasons. But Ganesha, as you probably know, has put me on a diet of reduced frivolity.
How does that work?
It means that I act along a random tangent to choices that I might normally take by nature.
What, your nature is a trickster?
No, my nature is a telephone sanitizer. Read the pamphlet. And so, I'm sending you to an alternate dimension.
No!
It's the dimension in which the consciousness of your engineer, Brian Lindsay, is the only thinking thing in existence. Let's see how you enjoy Turnabout is Fair Play.
Listeners, how many times has this happened to you? You're at the airport, going through security. As you feed your carry-on luggage over the rollers and into the scanning tunnel...
Whoa, hold up there, ma'am. Agent Jed, looks like we've got another anvil.
I'm on it!
Now, ma'am, did you pack that anvil yourself, or did someone else ask you to carry it in your luggage for them?
I packed it myself. Why? An anvil is an essential tool in blacksmithery. It's not a weapon. It's even safer than toothpaste.
I'm not sure that's true, ma'am. Have you tried Tom's?
Whether or not that's as it may be, ma'am, policy is policy. Our first concern is your security. No anvils and carry-on baggage.
No, I can't believe that. That's my anvil.
Nobody
cares.
What if I
had
a metal fan?
What
would
you do without it? I don't need that anvil.
What if I have a metal fan?
That's right, folks! If you have an anvil in your carry-on luggage, we'll need you to take it out and add it to the pile over by the Allmark TSA sponsorship logo.
Mommy, are these mean men going to take away my anvil?
Yes, little boy, we have to confiscate your anvil. But no, I'm not a mean man. I'm a mean woman.
Don't let this happen to you, listeners. If TSA agents confiscate your anvil as you pass through security, laugh it off. And right next to Wolfgang Puck's, stop in at Traveler's Anvils and pick up a lightly used new anvil that would last you your entire trip. Or better yet, leave your anvil at home. What better way to claim space fast in the overhead compartments than with a last-minute anvil purchase? Remember, Traveler's Anvils. They're not just for in-flight metalworking anymore.
Men in Charge. Funnier than your drunkest uncle at your mother's wake.
Great. We're floating weightlessly in an orangey-colored null dimension that never evolved any life except for Brian Lindsay. Nice work talking Kid Gupta down there, Kevin.
Well, now the frog's on the table. In a way, we're responsible for whatever we experience here. After all, you called Brian, quote, the man in the simple white cotton shirt, unquote.
So what? You said Brian's nickname was Don't Call Him the Yeti. That's not even really a nickname.
Well, you ended an episode by calling him the Better Homes and Gardens traveling consultant in the southern Atlantic states.
Kevin, you're losing this argument. You ascribe to Brian the trait of being the man who checks the adequate box for his own performance evaluations. Whatever happens next is your fault.
Wait, I can save them. I can save the babies. They're drowning, and nobody else can even see them. So only I can save the babies.
Oh, God, Brian's not even conscious. He's asleep.
He's dreaming.
Sister Michael is watching. I have to save the babies.
In the coffee room, Brian frequently talks about a dream in which he's a character in Kevin Costner's 1995 post-apocalyptic film disaster, Waterworld. Every time, space nuns guilt him into saving the babies.
Man, this is awful. Hell isn't other people. It's just having to put up with other people's private mental states. I mean, who cares? It's like having to sit through a guy's slide presentation of snaps from his brownie camera about climbing K2 in 1968. You want to fall asleep, but the spectacle cannot be so easily dismissed.
Kevin, the occult dimensioning forces in this pocket dimension have to be affecting your mind. You should probably take this opportunity to reflect and be quiet.
Hey, listeners, it's October 26th, 1975, and that means that the American Freedom Train will be on display for the next 2 days at the Amtrak station at First and Bernard. Get your bicentennial spirit on and check out this traveling collection of the United States' most valuable patriotic collectibles from its 200-year history.
Tony, how old is Brian if he's announcing a U.S. bicentennial event? And, note to self, create a time machine and steal all that valuable patriotic stuff from the train.
Note to Kevin, we definitely want to get out of here before Brian wakes up.
Why? How many times have you been around when Brian wakes up, Tony?
Kevin, being of the loutish sort that you aren't sensitive enough to realize that Brian has to live at the radio station. He sleeps here all the time, curled up in a corner of his office where he's constructed a small igloo of vinyl record sleeves to conserve warmth.
Well, I'm always the last to hear about these things.
We really need to cut this off before he inevitably dreams of actress Salma Hayek, as he always does. And that scene is not pretty.
Hey, welcome back to the studio. Salma Hayek, Trey Gusto.
That doesn't mean anything in any language.
I know. You're jealous of how I can create new languages out of nothing, right?
Look, Kid Gupta, not to put too fine of a point on it, but we've got a show to do here. We've got sketches to discuss so that our listener knows what she, he, or they were/are in for.
We've got witty banter to spin in an unscripted and droll way. We've got to...
Look, let me set your puny minds at rest, Tony and Kevin. If those are your real names. I'm a god. I've mentioned that, right?
Yes, get on with it.
And as a god, I can tell you that there's no one listening to your broadcast today. You're crying out into the silence. Tee-hee-hee. So in reality, we're wasting no one's time.
What about ours? When you first showed up back in the, frankly, epic Season 4...
I really miss Men in Charge of Season 4.
You always had some sort of silly quest for us, like when you sent us to Indonesia to track down our old Season 1 writer.
To apologize to him. Honestly, we were the ones who paid for his return ticket to Indonesia.
Look, you guys bellyache on and on and on about this for another 3 minutes, but I'm making a small reality edit here. Sometimes life is a quest, gentlemen, and sometimes it's just faceless, relentless, bitter, cosmic punishment.
This is my point. What are we being punished for?
Seriously, have you listened to your own show? You're driving listeners to drink to a degree that makes the Christmas holidays look like a night at Carrie Nation's Temperance at the End of a Club Movement. That's why I have a very special regimen prescribed for you for the rest of today's episode. You're going to be audience members in an eclectic collection curated by yours truly of Men in Charge's worst sketch ideas.
No.
Yes, it's your worst fears come to life. The Men in Charge sketches that should never have seen the light of day.
Fortunately, there's no one listening, as you said, Kid Gupta. Kid Gupta, Kid Gupta, Kid Gupta.
Are you tired of coffee cups or mugs that break as soon as they hit the floor, the wall, or the pavement? Are your cups not tough enough? Try Tough Cups. Cups that won't break or wear out because they're man tough, made of God-fearing American wood. Or if you're worried about lip splinters, Tough Cups also comes in granite for extra heft. Now it's not the cup you have to worry about, it's the kitchen wall. I guess we could have used plastic, but that didn't occur to us until it was too late. No. So don't forget, Tough Cups for men or babies. You'll never have to clean up after yourself again.
Tough Cups!
Men in Charge. Remember, when you're listening, pants are optional.
We'll return to tonight's radio movie, The Man Who Could Not See Surfaces, in just a moment. Pond vultures, crack cocaine, the 700 Club. Listener, it's a dangerous world we live in. We all have babies, but how safe would your baby be if someone were trying to steal him/her/it?
I don't have babies. I don't even remember which end you hold them by.
They're not safe. Because look at yourself. You couldn't punch your way out of a Safeway take-home soup container. That's why Fertilome Consultants, makers of Tough Cups, is introducing Krav Maga for babies.
That's a terrible idea. Must have been one of Kevin's.
Think of it as Dr. Spock meets the Israeli Defense Force. Actually, don't think of it as that, because Dr. Spock was a member of the Israeli Defense Force. So that was just a normal day on the West Bank.
Now that was funny. I must have edited Kevin's script.
So think of it as what to expect when you're expecting meets the unexpected. Krav Maga for babies. Your toddler will go goo goo gaga in their groin groin.
And now it's time for the talk show that touches on all the intersections between witchcraft, conspiracy theories, and stable arrangements of dispositions or habits. It's Hoaxes, Hexes, and Hexies.
There's got to be a way to turn this off. Too bad I'm disembodied.
And here are your hosts, Pat Gray, Matt Ray, and Kat Shea.
Hi, I'm Kat Shea. Today we're talking about hexes that can turn your male patterned baldness.
No, Kat. Today you're doing hoaxes. I'm doing hexes. Where's Matt?
I have no idea. Maybe my notes are about a hoax curing male patterned baldness? Who would like to talk about bodily hexes?
Standing in for Matt Ray today is guest host Anagnos Patsasoglu.
Hello, I'm Anagnos Patsasoglu. What am I doing here?
Business person slash sweatshop factory owner, are your customers or indentured laborers tired of corporate satellite radio? Does hearing the same old Muzak tapes on a loop reduce their productivity and turn away new customers?
Maybe. Why?
It's time to get excited about Spoken Muzak, a brand new offering from Randy Sweat Industries. Instead of a tinny sound system, Randy Sweat Industries provides you with a live, in-person Muzak speaker. Let's listen in.
I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, "Well, bless my soul. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt."
You can also get live Muzak speakers to discursify upon contemporary hits like Wiz Khalifa's "We Dem Boys."
Hold up, we dem boys. Hold up, hold up, hold up. We make a noise. Hold up, hold up. We dem boys.
Hold up. And never was a truer word spoken. Spoken Muzak will improve your sweatshop morale or will refund your first month's fees on our standard yearly contract, minus costs for vocalese throat spray and the inevitable fee handling fees. And if you're running a normal business and not a sweatshop, then hey, what are you thinking? And now it's time for the political talk show that's to the left of the left and to the right of the right. Reach around left and right to discover uncommon common ground, because it's time for Bury the Hatchet with Kristen Layover.
Kevin, some force is compelling me to clap.
Me too. I'm worried that ultimately Kid Gupta will forget about us in this deviant fictional universe and will never savor our autonomy again. We'll be part of the fathomless eternal collective they call the studio audience.
You don't actually make this sound so bad, Kevin.
Thanks, audience. And in a new little segment I'm calling Kristen's Hug It Out, I ask you, the listener, have you hugged a mugwump or know-nothing today? You may not like them, but you still have to hug it out. Today, we've got two staunch political opponents on the program. On my left is Park Ranger Aldous Coors, a longtime member of the Tea Party movement. And you, like your fellows in the Tea Party, believe that America needs to return to a golden age free of government paternalism, regulation, and high taxation. Correct?
Yep.
And on my right is Henrietta Plangent, a private security guard at the Lower Heights Mall, who represents the Buckle My Cockle movement. You don't think that the Tea Party has gone far enough, do you, Henrietta?
What made America great was the discipline, hard work, and moral cleanliness of the Puritans, not some drunk riffraff dressing up like Native Americans and dumping tea in a harbor. For one thing, we shouldn't even be drinking tea. It's a transgression against the bodily temple.
And I assume you disagree with that, Ranger Coors? Well, as you know, here on Bury the Hatchet, we don't want to antagonize and inflame your disagreement. That's why we don't force you to drink Mountain Dew and eat donuts in the green room before we go on.
Oh, that explains my disappointment.
Instead, let's focus on things that you can agree on outside of your fragmented political world. For example, Henrietta, isn't Ranger Coors' hair a lustrous white color?
Yes, but I don't see how that bears...
And Ranger Coors, Henrietta wants to wear a pointy hat and be addressed as Good Woman. Do you think you could manage that?
If I really try...
Now, I'm going to spritz a little potpourri into the air, and I want us all to chant...
And now, please.
I'd rather live through a dozen government shutdowns than that.
Fight!
finally, out of the ether and with both feet on solid ground.
Speak for yourself, Kevin.
Enjoyed that little adventure, chums? Yet I didn't even get to cast you into some of the most intriguing, parafictional, rejected sketch scenarios. Wouldn't you like to see how Kevin's idea for a new product, Owl Excluders, turns out in the real world?
No.
How about a new afternoon soap opera recounting the daily ennui of the permanently unwashed? I call it Daylight Basement Living.
Absolutely not.
Kevin, you once had a dream of making the Men in Charge cast into a psychedelic folk band like the Space Hippies in Star Trek Season 3, Episode 75, The Way to Eden. Would you like to see how the band, which you named Cosmic Umbilical Cord, turned out?
Well, I think young, brother, but that's a big no.
Herbert. Tony, you once suggested an Airbnb, the slogan of which would be sheets and towels as fresh as your local motel. Wouldn't you like to snuggle up in those sheets for a night?
No.
As a telling hint, the Airbnb owners leave travel-sized containers of lice-rid shampoo.
No.
You two are like acid rain pouring on the parade of my genius. I'm leaving now to taunt some other mortals.
Good. And give us some notice next time if you decide to come back.
So that we can get out of town.
You forget. I'm a god. So there is literally nowhere and no when you can hide from me. Now, I do have one final gift for you. Want to guess what it is?
No.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. You should have asked. Now it'll be a surprise. And an unpleasant one. Bye.
Tony, amai epizodra nigtsenik idonk.
Kevin, magyul bezeliev.
Fel tetelezem, hogi kask a magyar nyelvju, hiteleket kel elvengeznunk.
Serentemenk koznulex mondani ozdon kenvelt, Kevin Decker, Tony Flynn, Ann Porter, Scott Kinderpyle, Nancy Roth, S. Sam Phelps.
Kulon Kozonat at Haromnek, Akik Yoraljak, Vern Windham, Kerry Boyce, Nisha Schramm, S. Brian Lindsay. Az Aferfi, Aki Waterworld, Roel Almoldik Magyarul.
They're speaking Hungarian, but very poorly. Maybe it'll wear off by the next week, listener. Tune in and find out. But do keep that Google Translate app handy. Una musica dolce suonava soltanto per me.